2 Samuel chapter 7. And Jesus is the mighty God, amen? And let's not forget that. And thankful tonight. I've been looking forward to this chapter because it ties in so well to our Christmas sermon series. And so I'm really excited. This is probably one of the most pivotal passages in your Bible. And it's got so much truth and promises and prophecy, and it's just an incredible chapter. And will I complete it tonight? Absolutely not. That's just not even possible. In fact, in my study, it's kind of three different sections, and so it'll at least be three different weeks. And so what I do want to do tonight is cover as much as I can in this portion and be a help to us tonight, give you a handout that speaks about the lineage of David and specifically the sin between David all the way until you get to Jesus. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. It's going to be an encouragement, okay? And then I got a second sheet there. It's front and back. And these are some promises of God. And let me tell you, these are not all of the promises of God, but I wanted to just give you a snapshot to take with you when you get discouraged by the end of this week, or when you get discouraged next week, or when the new year comes around and you've got new plans and new goals and you get discouraged again, read these promises again and dig into the scriptures and find some more of God's promises, because He is the promise keeper. And that's what we want to look at tonight. He is the promise keeper. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I love this passage of scripture. Here's David. He wants to build a house. And God says, I'm going to build you a house. And so what David wanted was not a bad idea. He was just had a good desire. It was very commendable, but that was not God's will. And so sometimes we have good ideas, but if it's not God's will, it goes from a good idea to a bad idea. And so for David, he told that to the prophet Nathan. Nathan said, that's a great idea. Do it. And then as we study, God told Nathan, actually, that's not my will. Go back and tell David what my will is. And so Nathan has the courageous job of telling the king, no, you can't do that. And that's a courageous thing for him to have to do. But it's very commendable for him to do that. And so God here is now going to give David a greater yes. He tells him no, but as God does, when He tells us no, He always has something better in mind. And so David wanted to build God a house. God says, no, I'm going to build you a house. And so we're going to study this tonight. We're going to try to let out just a little bit earlier tonight, because I want us to enjoy some of the festivities that the kids are enjoying tonight. Just kind of see some of the things that are going on. And I want you to enjoy some time of fellowship and just join into the gym, just see what they're doing. But I want us to dig as much as we can here tonight and let it be a help to us. All right? So this chapter is a great chapter because there is a thread that runs all throughout your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. All 66 books has this common theme, and it is Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, listen, Jesus didn't just show up in Matthew or in Mark or Luke or in John. Jesus is there in the beginning when the world was created. He was there because He is God. And all throughout your Bible, there is this theme of Jesus. And so when we are looking at the life of David, it's not about David. It's about Jesus. It points to Jesus. And so should the same be about our lives. Your life is not about you. It should point others to Christ. Your life should reflect Christ. All that you do should be for Jesus. And so this thread is over thousands of years. There's multiple authors that write about it, prophesy about it, and speak of the truth of who Jesus is. And God has this promise in this chapter, and He has a promise for you today as well, because He's the promise keeper. And so I want you to look, let's just start in verse number 1 for context. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest about from all his enemies, that the king said unto David the prophet, or Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? God says, I've never asked for this. I've never asked why you haven't done it. And so verse 8, he says, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And so God tells Nathan to tell David, I brought you out of the shepherd's field, watching over the flock, just a teenage boy, just kind of a runt of a guy. Yeah, he's tough. Yes, he's able to kill a bear and a lion, but he's also the youngest of the brothers. And in comparison to Goliath, he's not very much. But God takes him out of the shepherd's field in order to take him to the throne. Not for David's gain, not for his popularity or fame, but because God is doing something and will do something through David. And in this next verse, we see what is the beginning of the Davidic covenant. The covenant for David. I'm going to read it in just a moment, but let me give you just kind of a theme and an understanding of the scriptures. And I'm not going to give an exhaustive thing because I believe Brother Jack and Brother Matt has taught about it in Sunday school. And so I don't want to delve too deep into necessarily the covenants as much as comparing a little bit and plugging in a great time, getting to Sunday school. We dig deep into God's Word. And you don't want to miss anything that God has to say. But there's multiple covenants in the Bible. There's the covenant God made with Adam. And Adam had sinned. He had done what God said not to do. And so there was this promise, though, that there would be a Savior. Would you look at Genesis 3:15? We're going to look at a lot of Scripture. Save your spot in 2 Samuel chapter 7, though. What does he say in Genesis 3:15? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Adam and Eve had sinned. Fellowship with God has been broken. But God has a promise. And let me reiterate this, as I've said so many times before, and I said it Sunday, this is not an emergency plan by God. This is not a plan B or oops, they messed up, so now I've got to figure out what to do. God knew that they would sin. And that's why the scripture says that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before Adam and Eve was created, God had a plan. Much less before they had sinned, he had a plan. But before they were created, he has a plan. So Genesis 3:15 says this, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so there's some words there, some phrasing, and God says, I'm going to make this promise that from your seed, from your lineage of Adam, I'm going to bring forth one who's going to crush Satan. After all, it was Satan that tempted Adam and Eve. It was Satan that caused them to sin and tempted them, and their sin entered into the world, and now they're separated from God. But God wants to fellowship with the people He created. And so He already has a plan in store to bring that back together. And praise God, we're here tonight as children of God. If you're saved, we've been brought back into fellowship with God. And outside these walls are billions and billions of people who are still separated from God. And we have the opportunity to bring them the gospel and to tell them about Jesus. So there's that covenant with Adam. There's the covenant with Abraham. And we actually did study this way back when we looked at the faith of Abraham. But that's in Genesis 12. Genesis 15, we won't look at it tonight. Genesis 12, Genesis 15, and Genesis 17. And it's in this covenant or this promise that God tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you a descendants. I'm going to make you a great nation. And then I'm going to give a blessing that's going to impact the whole world. Now, the descendants part is kind of funny because if you know where we are in Genesis 12 and 15, Abraham and Sarah don't have any children yet. And on top of that, they're well up in age. Let's just put it that way. But God's promise comes true when God gives Abraham and Sarah Isaac. And so there's that promise of a land that they're even today still arguing over. And even up until 48, 47, that Israel had been regathered back as a nation. And so I actually didn't think about this. I started thinking about this. What would it have been like to give this message 100 years ago? Some of you would be looking at me like I was crazy in that portion. But now it makes sense. And so you see the kind of advantage we have, and yet still some don't believe, unfortunately. But there's that blessing that the Messiah is going to come. That impacts the whole world. So the world, we're sinners. We came into this world as sinners, but God has promised us the Messiah. And then the covenant here that God gives David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 is specifically about his lineage and his throne. And through his throne, it's going to last forever. Okay, so it's not just David's going to become king, but through his lineage will be an everlasting king. And so that's why when you look at Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 that we've been looking at on Sundays, that verse number 7 really pops out in relation to this. Okay, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 9. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut out all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And so this is more prophetic. They are still being afflicted. And this is not all of them back together just yet. An enduring peace that Jesus is going to bring. Verse 11. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy day shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with my father, or with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. And so we're going to stop right there, and this portion will come back at another time and look at the response. But God has given David a promise that impacts you. And I think this is an amazing thing when God not only does something for maybe a passage we're reading about, but it also impacts me, or it impacts you, or even this world. And so the thing about this covenant is it's an unconditional covenant. It cannot be broken. Now, we didn't look at the covenant with Moses. That's a conditional covenant. Because the covenant was this: here are these laws, don't break them. If you break them, you'll be cursed or punished. If you obey them, you'll be blessed. And obviously, the people could not keep the law. And so then that's where Jesus came and He fulfilled the law. But the Davidic covenant, these other covenants that we looked at before, they are unconditional. That means that nothing's going to break it. Nothing's going to stop it. Nothing is going to end it, no matter what's going to happen in this world. Right? That's already happened. And no matter what happens tomorrow, this can't be broken. And that's not man's opinion. That doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter what a podcaster says or somebody's book says. It cannot be broken. And so it's not up to man's opinion. And so this throne here that God has given David, it doesn't just affect David. It's going to affect his lineage. But it's a throne that's not always been occupied by the lineage of David. Right now, we're waiting for Jesus to occupy that throne. And that's where it's fulfilled. That's where it's completed. Because Jesus won't be taken off the throne. There'll be no election to get Him off. There'll be no enemy that overtakes Him. There won't be a people that overtakes Him. Once He has established that throne, He is there forever and ever. Verse 13, it's a stable throne. And so, Luke chapter 1, let's look at that real quick. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. This passage, by the way, 2 Samuel 7, is not, again, as much about David as it is about Jesus. And there are scriptures that relate to it to make that true. And so I want to show us a few of them. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. If you're familiar with this section, this is the foretelling of the birth of Jesus. Verse 32, it says, "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father," who? David. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And so there's no expiration date. There's no, "All right, your time is up." No, he's going to reign forever and ever. Isaiah 11:1, you can write this down. Isaiah 11, verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." All right. Let me show you Revelation chapter 22. The very last book of the Bible. Some of the last words of your Bible. Let's look and see what it says. Revelation 22, verse 16. Don't you love how the Bible connects? That's what I love about teaching and studying and explaining God's Word, is this: it's not just kind of thrown together. It's not man's opinions. This is God speaking to us and giving us hope. Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. If you have a red letter Bible, Jesus is speaking. Furthermore, He says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. What does it say? I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, I love this verse, this statement by Jesus. He's not just the offspring. He doesn't just come down in the lineage of David hundreds of years later, thousands of years later. No, He's the creator of David. He's the root. There is no David without Jesus. It's not that there's no Jesus without David. It's the other way around. He's the root and the offspring. Only God can do that. And these scriptures are important for your faith. First of all, it proves how God cannot lie, how God already has a plan in store. It speaks of the purity of the doctrine of Jesus. And so when you read your Bible and you see, you know, the Son of David, and it doesn't make sense, that's what it's speaking of. Speaking of Jesus. And if you don't understand the prophecy, if you don't understand how the old comes together with the new, then you get kind of lost into it. But when you see how it pieces that thread, it all comes together. Oh, it just should excite you tonight that God knows what He's doing. And so what He's telling David affects David in the moment, but it affects the world for many, many years to come. Even today, there's years to come that we're waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. But God will fulfill it. Isaiah 9:7 says, the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's a promise. It's a given. And God cannot lie, and God cannot break promises. Now, you and I are capable of lying. We're capable of breaking our promises, and we do. But not God. Think about how many times you've told somebody you were going to do something. I know I have. And whether time just got ahead of you or you just simply forgot, you didn't do it. Why? Because we're flawed. We're human. But God, He cannot break promises. In fact, Matthew chapter 1 makes more sense. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 1, and I'm quickly running out of time. Matthew chapter 1. I hope you still got your spot in 2 Samuel because we're going to come back. Matthew chapter 1. And hold your spot there in 2 Samuel. And this is where we're going to wrap up, okay? I want to give us encouraging truth. But I want you to write down these scriptures. Would you do this just to put it in your notes and read it when you get home? Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 5. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 36. The sermon on the day of Pentecost points to the same truth. Okay? And then Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul begins the book of Romans with the same promise. So you've got Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 36, and then Jeremiah 23, 5. Now you look at those when you get home tonight, tomorrow. I know it's a busy time of year, but when we take time to slow down and get into His Word, oh, it'll bless your soul. When you can't sleep at night, or when you need to begin your day, or when you just need some encouragement, get into His Word. It's not just a bunch of made up, thrown together words. Now, Matthew chapter 1 is where you should be. And if you've got a hand in 2 Samuel chapter 7, let me read this last verse and it'll bless your heart. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 14. He says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. All right, so God has given this promise to David, and he speaks of his son. Okay, this is partly Solomon, his son, but it's much farther and beyond that to Jesus, as we've already established. Now, I want you to catch this. He says, if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. All right, write down Isaiah 53 and let that bless your soul. You see, Jesus bore on him. He became sin so that we could be forgiven. And so this was all told, foretold, prophesied before Jesus came. And when he came, he fulfilled what was prophesied. And we don't need proof that the Bible is true, but I sure do love those different portions of Scripture that is prophesied and then fulfilled. But there's some prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled, and that's that future reign of Jesus Christ. And that's why we hold to it. That He's the promise keeper, and we're looking to it. All right, look at Matthew chapter 1. Verse number 1 says this, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And you may just kind of cruise over that in your Bible reading. You're trying to go from cover to cover in 1 year. But if you rest on that verse alone, you see how it matches up what we've already talked about. Jesus is the son of David. He's in the lineage. He's in that line of David. And then the Bible here in Matthew chapter 1, all throughout this chapter, it gives us a genealogy. And we could be so quick to say, well, that's kind of boring. Just to read these names and who begat who and who begat who. But there's so much gospel in this chapter. And that's what I've given you on your first page there. And what I wanted to leave with you is that in the line, the lineage of Jesus, from just David to Jesus, here are some people and the things they did, the sin that they committed. And so when Jesus says, when they commit iniquity, I will have to chastise them. And so Jesus not only came to die for our sins, but he became sin so that we could go free. And so what I'm here to tell you is that there's no economy issue. There's no natural disaster issue. There's no royalty issue. There's no timing issue. There is no sin issue that can break this promise. In fact, from David to Jesus, there is a multitude of sin. This is not even an exhaustive list. It's just what was recorded. And do you know who the mother of Solomon is? Bathsheba. And we're going to get that in a few chapters. But David had adultery, committed adultery with Bathsheba, had dire consequences with that, and we will study that. But the beauty and the redemption that God uses in David's repentance is that he gives him Solomon, who's the next king. And so tonight, I don't know how broken you are. I don't know how much sin has ravaged your life. If you're anything like me, it has done a heyday in your life. But Jesus saves. And Jesus forgives. That's why he came. He came to die for you and I. And so the Bible says in Romans 5:20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that's the beautiful promise of the Davidic covenant. Is not just the fact of David having a throne and that Solomon would have a throne, is but that Jesus would have his throne. He will set up his kingdom, and nothing can stop that. And if that promise is not enough for you tonight, look at the second page in the back of that and let that just give you a taste of the promise keeper. He loves you tonight. He cares about you. He already had a plan in store long before the foundation of the world that you could be reunited with him and fellowship with him and walk each and every day and hold dear of the truth of how much He loves you and what He did for you. Let's pray tonight. Our Father, thank You for Your powerful Word. Thank You, Lord, for how things just come to life. Lord, the promises You have kept and then the promises that are yet to be fulfilled. God, let us walk out of here tonight and let us go tell somebody about what's to come. Lord, there is certainly great judgment on the way, but God, there is blessing to the believer. Lord, let us add more believers. Lord, let us tell the gospel to those who are lost. Let us encourage the believer who's discouraged tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight we'd understand that You're the promise keeper. And I thank You for that tonight. Lord, we love You. Thank You for first loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.